All right. Thank you guys for coming. A couple people, I don't know what happened to them. They got a little lost, so I don't know. Sorry for them. That's okay, though. So, again, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I know a few of you already know me pretty well, or we've been friends for a long time, so that's cool. But so basically, I just realized the other day that from doing all this credit stuff the past couple years and trying to build my own lines of credit and, like I said, get ahead with leveraging debt. That's kind of the end goal here, is to be able to leverage debt. So I've been able to do that with my house that I'm flipping right now. So that's kind of the benefit to all of this, is the end goal here is to leverage debt to make money, right? So that's how, if you know Oprah, of course, everyone knows Oprah. She got fired from her job one time. She ended up becoming, you know, one of the highest earners in the world. Warren Buffett, Jay-Z, really anyone you can think of in the music industry or who's successful has utilized credit to be able to make money. And whether that be a record deal or investment in stocks like Warren Buffett has done, you know, these people don't just have millions and millions sitting around that they're just taking and investing in something and getting money out. When someone buys a baseball team, they're using the bank's money, right? And then they're just looking at it like, okay, cool, I can make this much money. This is how much the loan is going to cost me. And that's the same thing you do when you flip houses. So I realized the other day that, one, there's a lot of benefits, like credit card rewards points. I haven't paid for a domestic flight in over 12 months because of this. And I'm on track right now to clear six figures by July, I believe. And that's with my house and with my real estate business. So I just got started in real estate in August of last year. I quit my corporate job in June. So, sorry, this thing's coming down. But yeah, my background is economics is what I studied in school. I moved back here from San Francisco about 4 years ago. And this past year is when I first got started in trying to help educate people. And then on top of that, kind of make money for myself. And I've realized that a lot of schools do not teach anything about this. A lot of parents don't teach anything about this. So that's kind of why I'm here and why I want to do this. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
But anyway, so let's just get started and jump right in. So credit, what is it? How do I use it? What's the goal? I already told you what the end goal is. So we're going to go through what it is and how do you use it to get there. Also, just wanted to thank my brokerage and Interlink Mortgage. Thanks, Rory, for helping me put this on and letting me use your space. All right, so this is kind of credit 101. So number one, obviously don't spend more than you make. And as I said earlier, leverage debt is kind of the end goal, but at first when you're just getting started, if you have $20 in your bank account and you have a $20,000 line of credit, don't spend more than 20 bucks. You're gonna go into debt and you're gonna pay insane interest rates and you're just gonna hate that. So that's number one. Just don't spend more than you make. So number two, hard versus soft credit checks. There's a lot of misconceptions around this that people are like, oh, I don't want to check my credit. If I check my credit, then it's going to hurt my credit score. Well, you have hard checks and soft checks. Whoa. Good save right there. Would have had to use some credit to buy that MacBook. With the soft credit checks, those don't hurt your score at all. So that's like if you go to Credit Karma, credit.com, any website that allows you to just log in and check your credit score, that's not going to hurt you. What does impact your score a little bit is your hard credit checks. So if you go to apply for any sort of loan, any credit card, if you're going to get a car payment, if you're going to go get a mortgage, that's going to impact your score. But it's pretty minuscule. It's a few points. So don't get scared about it. That's one of the smaller factors of your credit. We'll go through that in a little bit. There's basically six factors that impact you. The hard credit checks, don't stress them. I mean, unless you're going out and you're applying like day after day, I'm trying to get, you know, this loan, then don't worry about it. If you're just going occasionally to get your credit checked for a mortgage or a car loan, don't stress it.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I just recently relocated to Nashville.
Yeah.
I was in an intense job search.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the process of all of that, I had background checks.
Sure.
Does that affect a credit score? Is that hard or soft?
Depends on if they did an actual credit check and used your social security to do that. So that's another thing. No one can check your credit without your social security number. So if you go to Comcast and you're trying to apply to get Comcast at your house and you don't ever give them your social security, don't let them trick you into thinking that, you know, your credit's going to get hurt by them looking into it, because it's not. So I don't know off the top of my head if that impacts your score or not.
I think you already answered my question, because I had to submit my...
your social security number?
Like the last 4 digits.
Yeah.
So my assumption is that it was used for that, because as a result, my credit score dropped.
Yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't huge, though, was it? It was maybe a few points? Or do you have other outstanding debt?
No, I went from like in the 800s, the
sure.
high 800s,
uh-huh.
to like the 700s. So I took like a hit. And I think it was a combination of that.
Sure.
And then I was using credit cards that I hadn't been using before. It was kind of lying dormant. So I think the combination.
Yeah. So I'll go through the six factors of credit, and that'll probably help answer some of those questions too on why there was a larger score drop. But as far as the background check goes, that one factor shouldn't be the majority of that credit drop. So range of scores, 300 to 850 is average. There's actually some FICO scores that go up to 900, but they're not really used very much. FICO 9 is probably the most recent one that creditors are using to check your credit score. There's actually a ton of different FICO scores out there. So when you hear FICO, it's not just one score, okay? There's like car loans, they use a different FICO score than a mortgage officer or maybe your credit card company. So it's not just cut and dry, like this is my FICO score, because there's a bunch of different ones. So who gives you your score? Everyone knows FICO, right? That's the Fair Isaac Corporation. That's when you hear FICO score, FICO score, FICO score. Basically, that's the score that your major creditors are going to look at and double check to see if you're credit worthy or not. Now, Vantage Score is actually put out by another reporting agency, or three reporting agencies, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So they created the Vantage scoring system to allow consumers to be able to get credit reports and get info on their credit without having to apply, and basically to compete with the FICO corporation. And we'll get to that in a second as well. Lastly, secured versus unsecured lines. This is something that a lot of people don't really know exists, but there's a secured line, which basically means you give the company, let's say $100, $200, $300, $500, and that's if you don't have any credit generally, or you have a really bad credit score. So if you have somehow ruined your credit and you're down in the fours or 500s, real low, then you would want to get a secured card, because that allows you to build credit slowly. And the companies will generally give those to you because it's more like a debit card. It's not really an active use credit line. So an unsecured line is when someone says, oh, I have a $10,000 credit card, and that's $10,000 worth of credit available, right? And that means you don't put any money down. They're just like, look, your credit score looks good enough. We're willing to give you $10,000 worth of credit, and you can use that at your discretion.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is using those secured lines, which are basically like a prepaid credit card,
yeah,
does that actually help you when you're using those to rebuild your credit?
Yes. Blake went from, what was your score when I first met with you?
It's like a 580.
580. What do you have now?
Like 72.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And that's in what?
The,
6 months?
Yeah, 7 months?
7 months.
Yeah. And that was just using like, but I put $500 down, and I've been spending really about 60 to like 150 on it a month.
Yeah.
And made sure that paid off like pretty much as I went.
Okay.
And then 6 months in, I gave them a call and asked if I could do a check to see if I could move to unsecured. And most of them, I think, at about that 6 or 7
yeah.
months, will just go ahead and check it for you, kind of see if you're eligible to move up.
Right.
And after 7 months, they move me to secured getting my 500 back, and it went from 500 to 2000. So
yeah.
I was just using it like minimal.
Right. And yeah, and that's what you want to do. So if you have bad credit, a secured line is kind of the best option for you if you want to get ahead and build some rapport with these companies. And that's what you want to do. You want to have a relationship with these companies. It's not just like, oh, I got a credit card through Chase Bank and that's the only thing I'm ever going to do with them. No, you want to call in, have a relationship with them, be nice to the people on the phone, like they're people too, you know, and that's going to help you in the long run. All right, so I mentioned FICO and Vantage and a little bit about this. So like I said, the big three are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. They're all independent agencies. All three of those agencies score you slightly differently. They have come together to put together the Vantage score system, which is what they all use, but they don't always use the exact same info, and they don't share info between each other. So Experian doesn't take their credit report that they've taken on you and created your credit score and give that to TransUnion, which is why if you go to Credit Karma to check your credit for free, you'll notice sometimes your scores aren't the same. You have like a 640 and a 658. And that's because they're not sharing info between each other. And they're weighing different parts of your credit slightly differently. FICO, again, it's kind of the name brand that everyone hears. Generally costs money to get. So if Rory comes and pulls your credit, that usually costs you a little bit of money, right?
Well, it's free. Yeah.
Free for you.
And then when you close, it's like $18.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of free up front, but you close a loan, it costs someone money. All right. So the truth about scores, this is something that a lot of people are like, what's shown on my credit report, what's not? So I have a list here of what's not shown on your credit report. So generally, unless you give it to them, your income is not shown, your bank account info is not shown, your race, gender, marital status, employment status, religion, political affiliation, medical history, unless something went to default, criminal record, interest rates you pay, any sorts of reward accounts that you have through these agencies, your utility account. So a lot of people are like, oh, I've been paying my utility bills on time. Doesn't really get reported. They don't report very often. So that's not really going to help your credit out. But it will hurt your credit if you don't pay them and they go into default. Because then when they go into default, they go to collections, and then those collection agencies and that company reports that to the credit bureau saying, hey, this person didn't pay their bill. So that'll hurt you. But it's not really helping you right now. But still, pay them on time. Payday loans, title loans, other non-traditional credit products, so not a credit card, not a car, not a house, not like a refinance loan or debt consolidation loan. A lot of those, like if you go to, one of these payday loan places and get $2,000, right? Unless you don't pay it back, they're not really reporting either. So it's not helping your credit to do that. And then accounts and public records that have aged off your report. So 7 years is pretty average. So if you do have something go into default, after 7 years, generally that falls off your credit report. But it can be as long as 10 years. So, it's something to think about. If you have something go into default, my recommendation is always do your best to try and pay it. And reach out to whoever the initial debtor is. So if it was Comcast and you owed them $100, and that went to default and it goes to a collection agency and they're just blowing up your phone, and you're just tired of that, call Comcast. Don't deal with the credit, that agency that's calling you, the collection agency. Just go call Comcast and say, hey, I had a bill that went into default. I need to get this paid off. Is there a way I can set up a payment plan, or can I just pay it directly to you guys? And usually they'll let you. And what they've decided is they charge it off first, charge off versus default. Default means they've decided you're never going to repay this. They're like, it's just not going to happen. So that's when it goes to the credit collection agency. Before that, charged off is what they do. And that's not fully impacting your credit score yet. So it goes into kind of a limbo if you don't pay it for a while. And that company goes, okay, it doesn't look like this person is ever going to pay this, but we're not going to send that to a collection agency yet. We're not going to hire out someone to try and collect this debt for us. Because what they're doing is basically hiring the collection agency, and they're just trying to get as much as they can from that debt. And the collection agency makes money doing that. So if it's just been charged off and it hasn't gone into default yet, then best thing is pay it before it goes into default, because as soon as it goes into default, your credit score is going to tank immediately. And then no credit versus bad credit. So I get a lot of questions on this. Really having no credit is better than bad credit. If you have no credit at all, you're much more likely to be able to get a secured card or even an unsecured card at your first bat. But if you have bad credit, and when I say bad credit, I say like below 550, that's really when you need to start thinking about, I need to figure something out, I need to get a plan together and get some things rolling to get my credit score up. Because really, until you're above the 600 range, almost no one's going to give you a loan. You're only going to be able to have access to secured cards, and even at that, it's probably going to be difficult. And then one thing I hear all the time, how many people have heard, like, just get a credit card, it has $1,000 on it, max it out and pay it off on time. Has anyone here ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's a lot. Don't do that. Okay? So I'm going to get to it in a second, but like I said, there's six factors to your credit. That's one of them. And that has to do with the utilization rate of your credit. So if you have a $1,000 credit line, you basically want to keep that under 30%, really under 10%. Anything more than 30% on your credit line at any time is bad. And the credit agencies look at like it like, oh, this person really needs to use a lot of credit all the time. You want to keep it minimal. So if you have a $1,000 credit line, try not to spend more than $100 at a time before you pay it off. And just pay it off mid-month, even before your statement hits. Don't wait until the 30 days when your statement hits. You can pay your credit card 4 or 5 times a month. And that shows consistent payment history, which is really good. So don't max it out. I mean, that's negative, even if you pay it off. All right, so this is what I was talking about, the six factors of credit. So payment history, utilization, the age of your credit, your total accounts, derogatory marks, and the number of inquiries. So payment history is pretty simple. Pay on time, pay consistently, make sure you're not maxing out your credit cards, and don't let them just roll over every month. If you have a balance on it, do your best to pay it off or figure out a way to move that over to a, I don't know, different card or consolidate the debt. There's a lot of different options out there, but that payment history is kind of number one. And that is roughly 30% of your score, 35%. So as soon as you miss a payment, you're talking about 1/3 of your credit score right there. So if you miss a payment and you're maxed out on your card, you could see your score could drop 100 points, you know? Second, utilization, like I just mentioned. You want to keep that utilization low. So if you have a $100,000 line, don't ever spend more than $10,000 at a time, right? So if you have a $100,000 line, you're probably doing pretty good in life as is. So, you know, you've probably got money. So I hope you're not just like running out hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yeah, keep that utilization low every month. And if it's getting above the 30% range, pay it off. If you only have a $300 credit line, put your gas on it, 30 bucks, and then pay it off that night when you go home from your debit card. And if you don't have money in your account, just don't use it. Don't use it that month. The age of your credit. This is another thing. People always are like, well, I got a credit card 10 years ago. Why isn't my credit, you know, amazing now? Even if you've been paying on time, they average your credit age. So I got a card right now, right? Today. A year from today, I get another card. The credit companies look at that as an average credit age of 6 months. So every time you apply for new credit, that drops your average age over and over, continuously. So if you apply, you know, for 10 cards in a year and you apply once a month, then your average credit age is going to be like a month and a half. And that's also about maybe 15% of your score. Utilization and payment history make up over 60% of your score as is. So if you do those two things, your credit's probably going to be pretty decent, even if some of these other things you don't really have. Yes?
I have a what should I have done differently question.
Okay.
I had a credit card literally that I had, I've told you this, that I had for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I never used it.
Yeah.
So I closed it.
Right.
And my credit score tanked.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What do you do with a card? Do you keep it active, and is there a way to freeze it? Or?
Yeah. So a lot of companies... So Discover is one, they'll basically let you freeze your card indefinitely. That's the oldest account I have. I've had it frozen for like 6 months and haven't done anything with it. My credit line is still there and active. What I tell people, though, is you should try to use it from time to time, even if you freeze it. Because at a certain point, the company will decide, okay, this person's not using this card at all. Why do they even have this line? Their account's been frozen for X amount. Why should we let them stay open with us? And then on top of that, they'll lower your credit limit. So if you have a $10,000 credit limit and they lower that because you're not using it, then that hurts your credit as well. So your credit lines actually matter, the amount of credit you can utilize at one time, even if you're not using it all.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
So is it to a person's advantage to use debt consolidation, that type of loan, to pay off credit card debt? If the debt consolidation does not go on your credit report, did you say that earlier?
No, payday loans don't go on your report. But debt consolidation, that would be, you're still applying for a new line of credit, so that will hit your credit report. But yes, if you have like a ton of credit card debt, what I tell people is usually you can roll that into a single loan and consolidate that debt. There's a ton of different companies out there who do it, and they'll give you a lower interest rate. So that's because credit card interest rates are insane. They're like 20-25%. So if you have, you know, $10,000 outstanding among multiple credit cards, I would start reaching out to consolidation companies, because it's going to be really hard to open any new accounts or utilize some of the smaller things you could do, like balance transfers or opening a new card to move debt over. So yeah, I would say you would want to look at that option at that time. So your total accounts, this is what I was saying, if you want a lot of credit, but you don't want to use a lot of credit. So this is the amount of accounts you have open. And with your credit age and total accounts, people are like, how do I get an 850? You can't get an 850 unless you have an average credit history of 9 years. So you basically, if you open one account 9 years ago, then you have the ability to work toward an 850. But here's the other piece, total accounts. You can't get an 850 without 22 open accounts over your lifetime. 22. If you don't have 22 accounts or more, you can't get an 850. You might get up to like 830, 835, even maybe 840, but you cannot get a perfect credit score without those two things. So you want to get credit, but you don't want to use a lot of it. Derogatory marks, that's like the hard inquiries or default or your charge-offs, things that go into debt collection agencies. So those hit your credit report. That's still pretty minuscule though. That's only about 10% of your credit score. And then same thing with the number of inquiries. That's also only about 10%. So that's just how many times you're reaching out to get credit. So they're going to look at, are you applying for a credit card every month? Are you applying for it every day? Are you applying for it once a year? That's part of your credit as well. But derogatory marks and number of inquiries is pretty minimal. Like I said, payment history, utilization, that's like 60-65% of your score. Age of credit, your total accounts, that makes up roughly another 30%. And then the number of inquiries and derogatory marks is the other 10 or 20. What's up?
I had a little question about the utilization.
Yeah.
So you're saying don't spend more than 30% and try to like 10%?
Yeah.
Well, what if you spend it and you pay it off, and you do that multiple times during the month?
Mm-hmm.
Is that helping more, or is it the same as just spending 10% and then paying off in the month?
So are you saying that if you take, you know, if you ran it up 50%, paid it off, is that the same as keeping your utilization low?
Like 10%. So you spend 10% and you pay it off.
Right.
And you do that 3 times a month.
Yeah. Yeah, because your payment history is
more
basically longer.
Okay.
Well, not longer in age, but you have longer history of payments.
Okay.
So the more payments you're making on time and even before your statement hits helps you.
Nice.
So yeah, keep the utilization low. Pay it off before it ever hits that statement.
So, how does this help? If the credit card company if the balance is X, Y, and Z,
yeah.
The credit card company sends the bill, and this is what they say, the minimum. Okay, you don't pay the minimum. You don't pay it off, but you pay more than the minimum. Does that have some
Yeah, because your minimum is basically based on your interest rate. So when you're paying the minimum, you're barely even paying anything toward the principal of your loan. So if you're, you know, if you've got, let's say, $1,000 in debt, right, and you have a $2,000 credit line, and your minimum payment every month is $10, really that $10 is probably only your interest.
Right.
So that balance is just going to stay there. So yeah, the more you pay it down, the better.
So I guess, and I understand all of that, but I guess we can ask a question. So is it to my, if I'm able to pay that off and I choose not to, but I'm sending more money than what they are, than what the minimum is, mm-hmm. does that somehow help the situation? Or is it, it's because you're carrying that balance over?
Yeah. If you're carrying a balance over every month, that's like a 30-year score right there.
Okay.
And I mean, you would see your credit score jump up quite a bit immediately from just paying off the balance in full.
Okay.
Even if you ran it up all the way and maxed it out that month, if you paid it off in full, that's way better than paying off, you know, 1,800 of the 2,000 and leaving like $200 on it.
Okay.
You want to pay it off every time, if possible. So now we've kind of got the basics down, and I'll answer more questions later. I'm just going to kind of breeze through the next little bit. So leverage debt. I like this quote from Warren Buffett. Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never lose money. I just think he's a genius. He's great. I mean, he's one of the richest men in the world. So like I said earlier, the goal here is you want to use debt to make money and not buy things. So you don't want to go out and buy a new MacBook unless it's going to make you money. If you're a graphic designer and you're going to do graphic design, you're starting a graphic design business, and you're like, okay, this MacBook's $2,000 or $1,000, it's used, whatever. But off my first five jobs, I can pay that off, and you've already got two jobs lined up. Yeah, it makes sense to go buy a MacBook because it's going to help your business. But if you're just going out and you're like, oh man, I really want that new flat screen TV for my house, it's $1,000 and I have a $2,000 credit line, you go do that, it's not helping you. So the goal here, and what all the people in the world, all these rich people who you see, whether it's Donald Trump or Jay-Z or Oprah, all those people are doing the same thing. They're either doing it with housing or stocks or a business that they've started. They're not just cashing out all their money at one time and then hoping for a return. They're doing everything very strategically. This is what you need to do too. This is kind of the end goal here, and why this past year I've been able to use credit to make a decent amount of money this summer. And so don't be a consumer of credit. You want to leverage it for business. If you have debt right now, I mean, it's fine. I have debt too. And my credit score goes like this because I'll pay it off. And then sometimes I'm doing balance transfers to leverage the debt for a little longer and not necessarily pay it off right now. So that's another thing you can do. Excuse me. So here's some things to pay down current debt. If you already have a decent credit score, there's a lot of cards out there that have basically zero APR interest. So for the first 12 or 18 months, you go apply for a new card if you have a 700 credit score. And make sure you pick a good balance transfer card specifically. And what you can do, and I've done this multiple times now with my house to avoid paying interest. You take out a new card, that $2,000 balance that I'm not going to pay off this month, my 12 months is up with that other card, I move it to another one. 0% interest. So I'm still not paying interest on it. And so when my statement balance hits at the end of the month, it's still $2,000.
So, did you say that affects our credit score and we keep applying?
Like I said, my credit does this. Yeah. So it's, I'm not perfect. I don't have a perfect credit score. But I'm using that debt because in 3 months, every single bit of it will be paid off and I'll make $100,000. So it makes sense right now to do that. My credit score has gone from 750 down to 620, back up to 700, down to 650. It jumps. But it's because I'm using my debt as a way to make money in the long run. So it is hurting my credit score, yes. But don't worry about necessarily your score so much. Don't get tied up in, oh, I have a 650. What am I going to do? Look at the meat of what you're doing with your credit. So if you're using your credit in a good way to make money and start a business, that's a good way. But if you're just using your debt to every month roll over and buy another thing or you know, just get by, you got to come up with some sort of plan of action to make that work and pay that off. And that's those balance dreams.
So you're basically saying you're okay with your school. You're at a point where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You're okay with your school going up and your school going down.
Yeah.
If you're not there yet, then kind of take that time to get you to that point and then eventually
right.
that is utilizing it.
Because I don't ever use my credit for anything other than business.
Okay,
that's it.
So I'm going to give you the short version of this joke.
Okay.
So my end goal is to purchase a home in Bartlett, Tennessee.
Okay.
A townhouse, a condo, something of that nature.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know in order for me to get there, I need a plan.
Right.
Okay, so with my credit score taking a hit,
yeah.
that's not good for me.
Yeah.
So what I'm in a position right now for the next year and a half,
I have
no rent. No mortgage.
Yeah.
So I'm in a good position. I've taken on a second job.
Yep.
So I have 5 credit cards.
Okay.
I just paid one off last month. The next one comes off the first week in April.
Nice.
From there, it leaves me 3 credit cards. That's what I was asking you about. And they're all with the same
bank. Okay.
So the goal there is to go with consolidation and pay off that debt.
Quicker.
Right. So I don't have that hanging over my head.
Right.
I've not had bad credit and I've not had like low credit score. So for me to take a hit,
right.
I took that personally versus you up and down.
Right.
I can't afford, time is not on my side to go up and down
right.
for the next year and a half.
But what's your credit now? You said it was in the 800s or
no,
something, right?
I dropped from like the 800s to like the 700s.
That's still really good. Honestly, like if you have above a 720, really, if you have above a 720, you have basically great credit, period. Like awesome credit. If you have above a 750, they consider you having almost impeccable credit.
Yeah, I get those. I have like a stack of them around the house. You know, invitations to apply, pre-approved. One is 0% interest for 18 months. And I thought,
Yeah. Yeah. But as long as you're using that to just move that debt over and not pay interest, that's a good thing because you're opening another account too. But if you're already in a position, like it sounds like you're in a good position. Your credit score is not bad. You're not like in the 600s or 500s. You're good. I would just keep doing what you're doing because your goal is different than mine, right? Your goal is to buy a house. So what you want to do is keep your credit as even keeled as possible for the next year, year and a half until you're ready to buy a house, right? And you're going to get a killer interest rate whenever you apply to buy a house. If you're above 720, like, you're good to go. You probably get one now. But if you're not, if you're just trying to pay off those cards, just keep doing what you're doing. Just don't take out any more credit cards. Don't take out any more debt. Just pay off what you got. And I mean, your score is going to go back up to like 800 something.
But you know what? Speaking to what you said earlier, you're right. Credit is better than money.
Right.
Because I moved here in December. And
yeah.
I started working in February.
Yeah.
So, like late December. So I started working in February. So in that little time, the credit that I had access to, I mean, at times I didn't have like as much cash as I had credit.
Right.
So I understand the whole concept of getting your credit to a point where, like, I remember a guy at U.S. Bank told me I have a $20,000 line of credit with them.
Right.
And
yeah,
I,
you could go buy a new car.
Yeah, like, and I think I just didn't realize at the time, you know, he was saying this is better to have than money.
Right.
But I get it now. Like, and this is a lesson, unfortunately, that if you don't get it earlier in life,
right,
and you shoot yourself in the foot,
yeah,
and then later in life you figure this thing out, it's like, oh wow, snap!
It's better now than ever. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here. So I'm glad. Hopefully, it's helpful.
I see the light. I mean, I get it.
Yeah. I'm gonna wrap up.
You bought that house in Bartlett, Tennessee, too, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bought that house in Bartlett, Tennessee.
Yeah, let me wrap up real quick and I'll take any more questions anyone has. So I just wanted to show you guys some of the stuff that I've been able to do. So this was a trip I took this past month to Las Vegas.
For $0, round trip flight.
$0. And this is from using this method. Here's another one. This was round trip to Cancun.
I paid the taxes. It was $85 round trip.
Does anyone want to go to Cancun for $85? It's pretty cool. Nashville to San Francisco, $5. Nashville to Boston, $5.
And this is because you have that Southwest credit card that you use?
Well, I have 7 credit cards. So I'm using them very differently. But the Chase Sapphire Preferred is the one that I mostly use for travel. But yes, Southwest too.
So
I have that one.
So you're building points up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so I'm utilizing my business as a way to get those points. And then I'm using those points to travel over the year. So then I'll pay off the credit card, and a lot of them have sign-up bonuses, like 50,000 points. 50,000 points is like them giving you $750 right now to go just fly. Mm-hmm. So if you spend it, and they have sign-up bonuses, like, oh, spend $3,000. People are like, well, how am I supposed to spend $3,000? Like, that's a lot of money. I mean, does anyone have a mortgage? Do you have rent? Do you have gas, food, that sort of thing? I'm sure everyone in here spends anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a month easy. On just your basic necessities, right? And so one of the things you can do is if you're having trouble meeting that minimum at the very end and you're like, I've spent $2,000 and I don't know what I'm going to do, but you have a rent payment that's like $1,000, plastic.com with a Q. They charge you a very minimal fee. It's like 1%, 1.5%. And you can use that to pay bills that you wouldn't normally be able to pay with a credit card. So you can use that. If at the end of it, you're like, oh man, I've been really trying to use my card. I've been paying it off on time. I've been killing it. But I really am having trouble meeting that $3,000 minimum. And some of them are low, like $1,000. Spend $1,000 in 90 days and they give you 50,000 points. They're just giving you the same money that you just had to spend for free. All you got to do is take out the credit card, go use it and pay it off like you would normally. If you're already using cash in your debit card, you should just be doing the same thing with credit cards. Just use your credit card like a debit card, use your debit account to pay it off, and get those bonus points.
Is it possible to like link your credit card account with your debit card account? So like, let's just say like, yeah.
You can have automatic draw.
Yeah, so you can do automatic withdrawals.
Yeah.
See, that's what I want to
do. Yeah, it depends on the company, but yeah, it's available.
Okay, sweet.
So like I said, I have quite a few credit cards. Here's some of the ones I've got that I like. If you're just looking to get kind of an entry-level card, you've never had a credit card before, or like Blake's scenario, he didn't have credit at all. Discover it. And this is the one that you just gotta
check
for just now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So this one, it's 0% annual fee, 0% interest for the first 12 months. They allow balance transfers on certain accounts. You'll have to double check on that if they would offer that to you or not. They did for me, but they should. So Discover is what I tell people. If you're a student, if you're someone who's just getting started with credit, you're like, I don't know what card to get. There's a million of them out there. There's all these rewards programs. And you're just looking to get started, do this. It's the easiest one. They approve almost everyone, seriously. And if they don't approve you, they will give you a secured line, I promise you. They gave Blake one, he had no credit, and now he's got a 700 credit score. These are some other ones that I use. This is the one I mentioned for flying. So if you have great credit already, this one does have an annual fee of $95, but you know what they do is if you like to fly, like I do, they give you $100 credit for TSA PreCheck. So now I just get to walk on there. I don't have to stand in line with everyone else. And so for my $100 a year, they just gave me PreCheck. So now I get to just walk on through the airport.
So those 7 flights you took, you went straight to your gate.
Yeah, just walk on through. These other ones, these two I've used for balance transfers. American Express, they had a good sign-up bonus at the time. Chase Slate's another good one with no annual fee, but Chase and Amex are two of the more difficult accounts to open. Chase is probably the most difficult. If you're applying for new credit, Chase is going to be hard to open accounts with. If you have established credit, they have one of the best rewards programs in the world. So Chase and Amex are kind of your go-tos if you want rewards points and you want to look at flying. Then those are kind of the two you want to open accounts with.
You said Chase and which one?
And Amex, American Express.
Okay, so I have the old green card.
I don't even know what that is.
That's like...
Yeah, it's the original.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So...
Don't ever close that account.
Yeah. So do you suggest like a break from that?
I
get offers from them all the time. credit for, you know, the black card, you know, American Express black card.
If you can get a black card, get a black card. I don't even think they put a limit on that. You can just use that for, you could buy this building. But yeah, if they'll give you a black card, then I would definitely do that. I've never been offered that. You actually have to be extended an offer to get a black card.
Yeah, and I've gotten that. They've sent it to me. It's a real sleek.
Yeah, it's nice.
Put it down.
Yeah, they're like steel. Yeah, you could like ninja someone with that. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to show you some of the cards that I have, that I use, that I like, that have helped me in the past. Here's another one too. Rory recommended this one. So it's one of the only cards out there that reports immediately to a credit agency. So if you don't have credit right now, and you're like, I want to buy a house in 3 months, and you're like, how do I establish credit? This one will give you a credit score quick. They do have an annual fee too, though. So that's kind of the downside. This is one that, I mean, personally, if I were to use this and I had no credit and I went and got it and established a credit score, this would probably be one I'd just like open just to get credit, and then I'd just close it real quick, to be honest. And then I'd just, because I wouldn't be using it that long, I'd probably just close it real quick and open up something else that is more beneficial to me. But I don't know a ton about this card. Rory said he's helped some buyers get into a better position.
We've got a client right now that they needed to boost their score, and she just applied and offered $1,000, and it should put her score over. I mean, we've got to pull the credit again, but and if you don't have a score, they do report immediately, whereas most of those other cards will wait 6 months before they actually go to the score anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why that was a bit.
And so I'll leave you guys with a few resources too. So the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, if you've got stuff in collections that has been sitting there a long time, I would reach out to them and file a dispute, even if you know you're supposed to pay that credit off. They get involved and they have to respond within 2 weeks. So when they reach out to a credit reporting agency, those credit reporting agencies are required to give them an answer to why that is in collections or what the deal is with that credit within 14 days. So they're kind of your go-to if you have some stuff in collections that you're not sure why it's there.
If they don't get back to you in that 14 days, or back to them in that 14 days,
they get fined.
They get fined.
Yeah, the federal government fines them. So it's actually a federal agency. So they get fined if they don't do it.
And it won't change like what you owe or anything, but essentially it will be like, okay, this is...
Yeah, or if, I'm sure we've all had this, like you have a roommate who has your name on a bill and, you know, they don't pay it and somehow it gets put in your name and it goes to collections and you're like, 5 years ago I didn't do that, like that wasn't my thing to pay. Like, he has one of these right now. And I told him, at least just file with the CFPB. They could potentially get involved, maybe they write it off, or maybe they just respond to you and say, hey, you can set up a payment plan or something. So that's a good thing to do if you have stuff in collections. Credit Karma, just get a Credit Karma account if you don't already have one. It's good to have. You can check your Vantage scores. It'll just help you out being able to give you an idea of where your credit is. Like I said, FICO and Vantage are two different scoring systems. So if you go in and you're like, well, Credit Karma said I have a 650, but they said I only have a 630. Well, that's why, because they weigh your credit slightly differently. And then, like I said, Plastic, it's PLASTIQ.com. That's the one that you can actually pay bills with that you wouldn't normally be able to pay. And it's a small fee, transaction fee, but that's how they make money. That's how they stay open.
Can you spell anything?
Yeah, it's like Plastic, but with a Q on the end instead of a C.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the last one that I like, they do actually make money off ads, but it's called USCreditCardGuide.com. And you can get on there and research just about any sign-up bonus in the world. They publish stuff constantly. They give you updates on the new sign-up bonuses and what the points are and what they're worth. Great place to start researching cards if you don't know where to go and what to start with and what you want. So that's what I use if I'm like, oh, what's a good sign-up bonus that I would like to get this month so I can fly for free next month? Yeah, go to uscreditcardguide.com. So I told everyone I'd give a free ebook download. Here it is. That will be available for the next 24 hours. And it's about 30 pages long. I wrote it up with all the info I've kind of gone over today. So it's just something for you to reference. You can download it. It's a PDF. Save it to your computer. And it goes into a little more detail than what I've gone through. I know I kind of breezed through this stuff pretty quick and that it's a lot of info. But it's a great reference guide. So hopefully it's beneficial for you guys. And then I'm thinking I'm going to like figure out a way to maybe try and sell it for 99 cents online or I don't know, do something with it in the future. But anyway, right now it'll be available the next 24 hours on my website. You can't just go to my website. You actually have to have this exact URL. If you don't have it, there's no link on my website to get to it. So
nice.
There's that. And then this is just a plug for Rory here. He's doing a different seminar next week on kind of how to protect your money. So savings, IRAs, 401k, that sort of thing. So if you're interested in that or want to know how to put money away and figure out how all these rich people get rich, then it's another good thing to come to. It'll be here. I think he's providing lunch for people. And
yeah.
He always does a really good job. So.
Yeah, you just need to RSVP to the 577 loan number.
Yeah. But yeah, he does a great job. He helps me put these seminars on. That's why I'm able to provide food and drink in this space for everyone to come. And he does a lot of this stuff. So I would keep in touch with him. He puts on a lot of valuable information, a lot of stuff about home buying processes, first time buyers, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, give him a shout. And then,
did you bring cards with you?
Yeah.
This is
my office.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the big wig around here. But yeah, so anyway, I'll take any questions you guys have before we wrap up. And if anyone wants another beer, grab wine, do your thing. So.
I'm curious about, especially in this lady's case, obviously having a good credit score is one thing, but also you're going to have to make a down payment. So you're saving money, let's say over a year, waiting to make a down payment on a home. You know, most savings accounts, what, 1.5% or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have to kind of balance, or do you better to take all your money and pay down your debt? Or should you also at the same time, even though you're paying a higher interest rate, should you also be building your savings? And when they pull your credit, what is savings?
It depends on your debt to income ratio. So that's the one thing that mortgage officers are going to look at is what your debt to income is. So if you have a $20,000 credit line and you have five other cards or four other cards and total, you have a total line of like $75,000 or $50,000 or whatever. Let's say she has $10,000 in outstanding debt right now. That's still below the 25% threshold with her debt. And so then what they're going to do is look at her income. So they're going to go, okay, what's your income right now? And let's say it's 30 grand a year, 40 grand a year, 50, doesn't matter. It matters what that number is, so whatever your outstanding debt is, to whatever your total income is over the year. So if you have $20,000 in outstanding debt and you only make $30,000 a year, your debt to income ratio is like 70-30, which is not good. So they're going to go, oh, I'm sorry, you can't get a loan right now. But really, it's what, 60-40 is like kind of the max?
Yeah, you can go up to 56 on an FHA loan.
Okay, so yeah, 56% debt to income is kind of the max that you would want to do. I would suggest to people to try to get that down before you take on buying a house. That's my personal advice. Don't have to take it, but that's what I would tell people if they're like, hey, I want to buy a house, but I've got all this outstanding debt right now. I would say pay your debt down, get it to a manageable level, get it to one credit card that you got a payment on every month. If you got to pay interest, it's okay. And here's the other thing. It's not interest every month accumulating. It's APR. So if you have $1,000 outstanding debt right now and your credit line's maxed out at $1,000 and it's the only one you have, basically if your interest rate on that credit card is 25%, that means that year you're going to pay $250 in interest. So that's not $250 a month. Okay, so it breaks down that way. But as long as you're paying it down, that number drops. So if you're at 900 this month, then your APR is based on that 900 now. So if you never pay that 900, now it's, you know, whatever that percentage is. But yeah, $200, $213 or something. But yeah, that's what I would say is pay down your current debt. If you have a great credit score and you're not trying to do what I'm trying to do right now, like, you don't have to do the same thing I'm trying to do. You know, like, there's a million ways to go out there and make money or do something different. Or if you just want a good credit score and go to your 9-to-5 and have weekends off and be able to party and have a good time and go on trips occasionally, do that. I mean, everyone's got a different scenario of what they want to do and what they like to do. So, you know, just kind of do whatever you want to in life and use it accordingly. But
can I just say something to you, just in response to your
question? Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I think when you look, you see, you need a 580 credit score in order to buy a house, okay? And you can do that with 3.5% down. So it goes back to Ian's thing about leveraging debt, right? You're not using a lot of your savings. You need to get a gift to do it, but you get into a property. But we've got programs that you can get your score up to a 640 where there is no down payment. Like, we've probably helped people buy a house with less money down than what people that have gone and rented an apartment. You know, because your first and last month's rent, what, let's say $1,200 a month payment, it's $2,400. Whereas, you know, we help people be able to leverage by utilizing debt, which is what he said is your end game. So, you know, it doesn't require a big down payment. The difference there is, it kind of goes back to also what he was saying about Buffett and these guys, is they leverage other people's money. You're leveraging a bank's money to build equity in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got some good examples of that, like in the house that you're working on, right?
Right.
It's like the equity that he's going to be able to leverage and build, you can't save that kind of money.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? In a year or whatever it's taking.
Yeah. It's hard to ever save that kind of money.
Yeah.
I mean, even $20,000, $50,000, like, that's a lot of money, you know? That's a ton of money. $10,000 is a lot of money. So, I mean, if you're able to get a return, don't worry. Like, I'm paying a little interest on a couple cards right now, but it's going to all be paid off this summer. So, and I'm still just, I'm making more than the minimum payment. And if I can, I'm doing a balance transfer. When it gets to a certain point, move it over. Get onto another card that I'm not paying interest on.
What's up? I've heard how everyone's really thinking of having a huge down payment for a house. But I heard it's better to invest that money into
yes.
a house, have better equity.
I put zero down on my house. 0%. I think I had to pay closing costs when I got my loan last year. And and I had $10,000 to put down at the time. But instead, I was like, okay, I can either buy a house and stay in it and have a nice little house, or I can keep my $10,000, I can buy a piece of crap that needs some renovations, and I can invest that into the house over time. And then what I did with the income that I've made this year is I've put it all toward that house and to fixing it up and getting it to a point where I'll make some money. And now that's the position I'm in. So, that's what I would tell people.
We have so many people that come to us and go, well, I thought I had to save 20% in order to buy a house. And it's like, and I do this with people. It's like, okay, let's say you buy a $100,000 house. Your down payment, if you don't qualify for the
FHA.
For the, like, the THDA, the ones that are 100% financing. You have an FHA loan that requires $3,500 down, right? So you're buying a house for $100,000 at the end of year one right now. And I'm using, I think, what are conservative numbers, but houses are appreciating, let's say, at 5%. At the end of year one, you've got $105,000 is $105,000 is what that house is worth. So you put $3,500 in, you've got $5,000 back. I mean, the rate of return's insane.
Yeah.
Businesses don't have 100% rate of return in the first year.
Right.
Hardly ever.
Yeah, and right now, interest rates are still really low. Like, people are like, interest rates are going up. Interest rates used to be like 8, 9, 10% on a house. You can get a house now for like 4 or 5%, 12%. Listen, that's insane. Think about that. Money is so cheap to borrow right now, whether it's credit cards or getting a car loan or getting a house. Like, you got to get in on the game while you can, you know. And Nashville's a great market for it. So, I mean, if you can eventually buy a house, then you should do it. Like, this is a great market. It's growing. It's not, I mean, it's leveling, but it's, you know, there's money to be made. Or if you just want a house to live in forever, it makes more sense than rent. You can do whatever you want. You can knock out a wall. You can paint it pink or put crazy elephant wallpaper, whatever you want to do to it, you know? So, yeah, whatever you want. If you want flying elephants, you know, put flying elephants on your ceiling. But yeah, any other questions?
So
this. When are you considered to be a first-time homeowner again after owning a home and selling it?
3 years?
How many years has it
been? 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But even like the first time home buyer programs, the federal programs are almost just as good right now, right? Like FHA loans, it's 3.5% down.
But even you can even look in some areas, and I don't know about all of it, but like once you get out in the rural areas, you can do 100% financing and you don't have to be a first time home buyer.
Yeah.
You just sold the house.
Yeah, because
the rules, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of rural financing just to try and bring areas up. So, I mean, if you're looking out there, there's a possibility there's a loan where you just put zero down, pay your closing costs, and you have a house.
I'm living in a rural district.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you all for coming. We're going to hang out. There's more beers, more wine, food. I appreciate it. Again, if you guys have any questions,